Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus reveals to us one of the deep, pressing desires and secrets of his heart. He says, "I've come to cast a fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were ablaze already." Now, what does he mean to say that he earnestly desires to cast a fire on the earth? I mean, a fire can have many different connotations. It could refer to like a fun bonfire that on warm summer evenings families may have during a vacation. Or it could refer to a warm, cozy fire in a wood-burning stove on a chilly winter night. Or it could refer to a great forest fire that destroys great swaths of land and many, many homes. So what does he mean to say, "I've come to cast a fire upon the earth"? Well, one way we can better understand images that are used in Scripture is to see how that image was used in other places in Scripture. And one time the image of fire was used in the Old Testament happened during the life of Moses. If you remember the story where Moses was out shepherding the sheep, and he noticed a strange sight on a mountain close by. He noticed that on the mountain was a bush burning, all aflame, but it was not being consumed. And so he decided after a while to go see this strange sight. And when he reached the bush, the voice of God spoke to him from the bush. And so we see that God was using this bush in order to draw Moses to him and then to communicate to Moses. So the bush became where God manifested his presence and activity to Moses. So, and notice about that fire with the bush, it completely engulfed the bush, and the bush was completely aflame, but the bush was not being harmed in any way. And the fire was giving to the bush properties that the bush did not have from nature. It gave to the bush radiance, light, and beauty. It also made the bush much more than it was on its own without harming it in any way. So when Jesus says, "I've come to cast a fire upon the earth and how I wish it were ablaze already," he's saying that he's come to earth in order to inflame our hearts and our lives with the fire of his love, with the activity and presence of God. And just as the bush was engulfed in a flame with a fire, so Jesus desires that we become engulfed and inflamed with the presence of God, to have a close, intimate, loving friendship with God. That is a deep desire of the heart of Christ. And if we allow God into our hearts and lives and allow God to set our lives aflame with the fire of his love and goodness, nothing that is truly human in us will be harmed, just as the bush was not harmed. Not only will we not be harmed, but God will give us more and make us more than what our lives could ever be on their own. He will share with us and with our lives his light, his goodness, his love, his radiance, his beauty, his strength, his truth. However, there's a great difference between us and the burning bush. The bush was an inanimate object. It had no conscious choice in the matter. On the other hand, you and I have a free will. we have a free choice. And God will always respect that because it's his gift to us, and we need to have it in order to choose to love. So if we want to have a relationship with God, if we want his presence in our hearts and lives, if we want God's gifts to help us to become more and better than we could possibly be on our own, then we have to say yes to God. We have to say, give God permission. To say, yes, God, I want to have this relationship and friendship with you. Yes, I want to get to know you. Yes, God, I want to live my life with you according to your will. And so the first step in moving toward having a close friendship, personal friendship with God, is if somebody doesn't have that, the first step is to search for God. I mean, we cannot find what we're not looking for. So for many people, this search for God starts off by asking themselves questions like, what is life all about? What is the meaning of life? Where did I come from? What is my purpose? Is this all there is? These people, when they contemplate those questions and struggle with those questions, they're really looking for truth about life. And since God is a source of all truth, they are looking for God without maybe being able to articulate it fully. And then if they, as they're looking for God, if they even say a simple little prayer and say, well, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, then reveal yourself to me in a way that I can understand. If you are real, well, I don't want to live my life blind and in a lie, thinking you're not real when you are real. So show me the truth of your existence and your love for me if you are there, and I will be ready to change my life and live it as friends with you if you are real and you love me. A simple prayer like that, if it's honest and sincere, God will answer it, and he will give the person the gift of faith. He will reveal himself in such a way that the person can come to believe. So God has promised that. He said, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. However, if somebody does not bother to look at those questions about the meaning of life and about what is true, if they simply busy themselves with just getting ahead in life and enjoying the pleasures of life, if that's their whole focus, they'll never find God, either in this life or in the next, because we cannot find what we're not looking for. Now, once a person has found God and has established this faith relationship with God, well, how does faith work? Well, it works in the same way that any of our other important relationships work. You know, think of it this way. Suppose there's a person that we're really interested in and attracted to. Well, what do? You know, we can call this person Sally. You know, we may watch Sally for a while, whether at work or a party or school, see what she wears, see how she interacts with other people. We may then check with mutual friends to see what they know about Sally. We could Google her name and find out more from her on Facebook or the LinkedIn. And in this way, we could find out a lot about her that would be true, where she's from, how many people are in her family, her hobbies, where she works, her education, etc. But the knowledge we gain in this way about Sally, even though it's true, would be limited. It would only go so far. Eventually, if we really want to get to know her, we need to meet her personally. And then when we do meet her personally, something wonderful and extraordinary will happen. She will begin to speak. And when she speaks, then she will tell us a lot of things that maybe we already know about her. But as the relationship grows, Sally will eventually reveal things to us about herself that we could never possibly have come to know on our own through Google or through friends. She will disclose to us truths that exist in the deepest part of her heart. And this will only come about because Sally's free decision to speak to us and reveal to us the hidden secrets and desires of her heart. And when she does, then we have to make a decision. Do we believe what she's telling us or not? Sally's telling us things now about herself that she's maybe not told anyone before. Things that we could never verify by going to Google and checking it out. And so if we decide, yes, I trust Sally, I know her now, I know she's trustworthy, will not lie, I know she loves me, so I choose to accept what she tells me as true, then the relationship will be strong and we'll be able to grow. But if I say to myself, well, no, I don't trust Sally, I don't believe what she's telling me about herself is true, well, if that's not resolved, the relationship would be over. And this is, I think, actually a very illuminating example of how faith works in our relationship with God. On the one hand, we can find out a lot about God from the distance, you know, based on reason. When we look at the beauty and the order and the magnificence of the universe and creation, and we see how everything in creation is dependent on something else for existence. Well, then we can reason that there must somewhere be an original cause of all this that is not dependent on something else for existence. And so rationally and reasonably, we can come to the conclusion that God exists. He's the author of all creation. And since we see in creation beauty, power, intelligence, order, goodness, well, they must be in God, otherwise he couldn't have put them into creation. So we can determine all these things on reason alone and many other things. But similar to how we initially gain information about Sally from observations and research on Google, this is only the beginning. And just as that initial information we gained about Sally was true but limited, so the information we gain about the existence of God, based on reason, it's true but limited. And just as the only way to gain a relationship with Sally is to listen to her speak and share what is in her heart, and then accept what she's saying is true, we also need to listen to God, hear what he has to say, and accept that it is true. The things he's revealed to us about himself, about life, about truth, about morality, things that we could never discover based on our own reasoning. And this is the claim of the Bible. This is the claim of the Catholic Church, that God is a person. He has not remained at a distance. He is a divine person who has freely chosen to speak to us and reveal himself to us, and he has told us many amazing things about himself. He has sent his word, Jesus Christ, into the world to reveal God's heart to us. Jesus tells us he established a church, the Catholic Church, that he's entrusted to this church the scriptures and traditions that Paul says in his letter to Timothy we need to keep in their entirety. And so this is what we're being told in the Bible and what we're being told through the church. And now we need to make a decision. Do we accept and trust this? Do we accept and trust that God, all that God has revealed to us, that Jesus is his word to us, that scripture and traditions that come from Jesus is how he reveals to us the truth about life, and that the church that Jesus founded guides us into properly understanding these truths. So this is one aspect of faith, but it's a very essential aspect of faith. Is just saying, yes, Lord, I accept all that you reveal to me, to us in scripture and tradition. I accept all that the church which Jesus founded professes to be true, that it really does come from you. Then our relationship with God is on solid ground and it can grow. But if we say to ourselves, well, I accept most of the Bible, most of the traditions, most of the teachings of the church, but there are some parts of the gospel I reject, some traditions or teachings that the church says come from Christ, but I reject them. If we do that knowingly and freely, then we've lost our faith. We're no longer have faith in God, but we have faith in ourselves. We're making up our own version of the gospel. We become our own gods and claim to be able to determine what is true and what is false for ourselves. Then we've broken that relationship with God, and we no longer have a Catholic faith. We then would need to exclude ourselves from communion because we're no longer in communion with our faith. We've fallen into what the church calls heresy, and our salvation would be in jeopardy. Now, we can disagree with the church on a human level about all different kinds of things: policies, procedures, decisions, all the prudential governance of the church, theological theories. We're free to disagree. But if we reject truths of the scripture, truths of the traditions, truths of teachings that the church says are revealed by God, and we need to accept to be faithful Catholics, then we break our relationship with God. And so Jesus tells us today, I've come to cast a fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were ablaze already. Jesus desires that the fire of faith burn in our hearts and lives, that we have a personal friendship with God that sets our lives on fire. To live our lives in union with him, so that his love, his truth, his goodness, strength, and beauty can shine in our souls and through us into the world. And so the starting point for faith is that we need to simply accept and believe that God exists and all that he has revealed to us as being true. And he's revealed that to us through scripture, the traditions, and teachings the church has infallibly defined. And so may we pray the rosary daily and ask Mary to help us to keep our Catholic faith intact and persevere in living it out with love. Then our relationship with God can grow deeper and more intimate, and we can overcome the flood of errors and darkness that surround us in the world today, and we can walk in light and in truth and in love on the path that leads to God.